Mother's Day to all our mothers. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's start off. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to call on Sister Pam. Would you lead us in a word of prayer, please?
Lord, thank you for this day. We're so grateful, Lord, for our mothers and the opportunity to be a mother, to be a grandmother. I'm so thankful for that. Just be with us today, Lord. Help us to listen to the message, Lord, and apply it to our life. In Christ's name I pray.
Amen. It is Mother's Day, and I'm going to share some scripture with you. You know, I'm going to read out of just one verse out of Proverbs. It's going to be chapter 31, and the very last verse here. It says, "Give her of the fruit of her hands, and her own words praise her in the gates." And then also look at Psalms 139, verses 14. 139, verses 14. Flip back a little bit. And it says here in the Psalm, says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelously are the works, and that my soul knoweth right well. You know, we're so blessed for our moms, and some of us, our moms have done gone on to be with heaven, be in heaven. And we can find comfort in knowing that. But you know, there's some moms probably sitting here today, this may be a sad day for you. But you know, we can always look to God for comfort, and we can find strength in Him. And we also can look at the blessings that we have through God. But you know, I'm so thankful for my mom. How she brought me up. You know, sometimes it wasn't all good, but you know, everything that I was taught from my mom still with me today. I'm so thankful for my mom. And again, she's in heaven right now, and I'm so blessed about that. But you know, we can count her blessings. And this song came to my mind. You have your celebration hymnal, and look to 786. Count your blessings.
When I fall, I feel the
give Vanessa to come up.
Let's share a song. Let's leave that between here and sunset.
We're going to have a few specials this morning. I know Jess has got one she's going to share. And we got Kayla and Emily and I think Kim, I think y'all got one y'all going to share. I hope so. But anyhow, this is a song. I know this is, I could hear Nidra singing this song today. I hear her singing it. Vanessa's going to do her part on this between here and sunset. Singing that song right now, and I've probably heard her sing that 100 times at least. But you know, it got better and better as time was singing. You know, what a great song there. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank y'all. But we're going to do another special right now. Sister Jess, if you don't mind, will you come up and share? You know, we're so thankful to have, you know, Bobby and Pam here with us. And you know, their family has meant a whole lot to me.
Sure.
Jess has meant a whole lot to me. But y'all, just looking at how you grace your family, it's just a wonderful blessing. And thank God for Jess. And Jess, I don't know what you're going to sing, but I know it's going to be good.
So Brother Wayne asked me yesterday if I would sing something. And so, not going to lie, I didn't find this song until Thursday. So it may sound a little rough. But listen to the words, not nice.
Bless you.
I love to sit on Mama's knees when I was just a child. There I learned so many things that carried me through life. She told me about Jesus and how he died for me. She taught me many scriptures I still quote from memory. When I got down to run and play, as children always do, she got down on those same knees and prayed till she prayed through. When she bows before the throne, holy angels spread their wings when Mama prays. She knows how to pray. When she lifts her voice to heaven, Mama always takes the time to mention me. I'm so glad she prays for me. Only God knows where I'd be without the battles that were won on Mama's knees.
Amen.
She always keeps her Bible close by her side. Many pages are tear-stained, many verses underlined. She stands upon those promises when she kneels to pray. When my world falls apart, she helps me keep the faith. I've seen her tears of sorrow for loved ones bound by sin. Until they come back to God, she'll be on her knees again. She knows how to pray. When she lifts her voice to heaven, Mama always takes the time to mention me. I'm so glad she prays for me. Only God knows where I'd be without the battles that were won on Mama's knees. She's a woman. Without the battles that were won on Mama's knees, only God knows where I'd be. Without the battles that were won on Mama's
knees. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
great song. Good job, Jess. Good job. You know, that'll go along right this next song we're going to sing. Someone that was a big inspiration in my life was my mother-in-law, Janice. Probably one of the sweetest people I've ever been around in my life. But you know, I could hear her singing this song here, one of her favorite songs, is Sweet Hour Prayer. Sweet Hour Prayer. Can we sing that?
Yes.
Page 640 in your celebration hymn, page 640. Share a song. They shared this a while back, and we was not here that Sunday, but it's the song is the goodness of God. And God is so good. God is so good. But you know, got three generations right here fixing to share a song.
God bless.
Oh, your mercy.
Happy boy. Happy boy.
Great job.
Great man.
Aren't you glad he's always been faithful?
Amen.
Never been a time that I can look back my life and blame God for not being faithful.
That's right.
Never a time. Boy, I'm telling you, that's love that surpasses all understanding, isn't it? It's good to be here today. Good to see each one of you. I love you. And good to have our visitors with us today. Want you to make yourself at home, and we hope that the Holy Spirit makes you feel at home here at the house of God. And I want to encourage you that if you've got a need in your life, anybody here, we know a waymaker that can handle any need that you might have in your life today. And that thrills me. That thrills me in a world that's unsure, in a world that's unstable. It thrills me to know that there's stability in Jesus Christ today. And that's a solid rock foundation that can't be shook by the powers of Satan. It's tried to be, there's trying to be today. The devil would love nothing more than to shake the church off its foundation. But boy, I'm glad we're on a solid foundation today. It's been tried. Brother Michael mentioned in Sunday school about kingdoms that have come and gone and been overthrown. But he said the church has always been here. It's always stood. And it's not that the church hadn't been warred against. We've been warred against every day. We're being fought against even right now. But I'm glad because we've got the power of the Lord with us today that we can stand. We can stand the test of time. Boy, that thrills me. I enjoyed the Sunday school lesson this morning. It was really in studying the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm excited as we go in more to this because there's so much in that that just brings blessings into our life. I couldn't help but think, we were in Sunday school and Sister Pam was talking about you always knew first day when you had a class. These school teachers can tell you that on the first day when you have a class, you can tell pretty much what kind of class you're going to have throughout the whole year. It's not likely to change. If they're heathens when they get there, it ain't likely to change that it's going to get any better by the end of the school year. But I, when she said that, my mind went back to fifth grade in the old rock school at Pinson. Part of the building still standing there. And we had an old teacher named Miss Booth, and she was far from politically correct. And she was old at that time, wrinkled, and she shook. But she was the most honest person I've ever been around. And I remember she said one time, the second or third day of school in her class, she made this statement to the class. She said, undoubtedly, this is the dumbest group of kids I've ever had, with the exception of about three or four girls. That's what she said. And I thought to myself, and I thought, boy, that's the meanest old woman ever. Now, I didn't like her for a long time. I was way on up in my teens before I realized that what she said was probably the truth. And she was old school, and she wouldn't last today in the school system. But I'm glad I had her. I really am. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Exodus, the 17th chapter, and I'd like to share with you a thought that the Lord gave me concerning the time when Moses was leading the children of Israel in the wilderness, and there was all kind of things that happened during that time that caused the children of Israel to get discouraged and down and out, caused them to get mad at God, get mad at Moses, but this is the time when they were thirsting for water, and they had got to a point that they began to just distrust God that he was able to help them. They had come to a point on the journey where they thought God had forsaken them. And in turn, after seeing all of the miracles that was performed by Moses by the power of God, they had got to a point where they had even come to the conclusion that Moses wasn't what they thought he was. That was a sad situation, but this is where they is at. Now I'm going to begin reading with the first verse, and I don't know where I'm going to stop. I'm just going to stop where the Lord leads. But beginning with the first verse, and it said, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandments of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go." In other words, he was telling the same rod that you smote the river with, that parted the waters. He said, "Take this rod. Behold, I'll stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men, and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him, and fought with Amalek and Moses. And Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out of the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jerovnisseh, for he said, Because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And I realize that's reading the whole chapter there, but I'd like to take you back over here to the 11th verse, where it says, "And when he let down his hands, Amalek did prevail." And for just a few minutes, I'd like to preach on the thought, when the enemy prevails. And I want you to think about that just for a few minutes. Somebody said, "Preacher, I want to hear about how God prevails, not about how the devil prevails. But if we're honest with each other today, we'll realize that there's times in our life that the enemy prevails. He does. I'm not saying that we don't win in the end. We do. I'm glad that I know what happens at the end, but I'm not ignorant enough. I realize today that there's going to be times in my life, if I allow it to be, that the enemy is going to prevail in some battles in my life today. And I don't like to think about that. I'd rather have the ostrich effect and stick my head in the sand and just feel like that's not true, that
that I'm prevailing through God every day, and that the enemy is never prevailing in my life. If I said that, I'd be lying today, because each and every one of us know that we have trials and troubles and tribulations that come along in our life each and every day. And when those tribulations and trials begin to affect how we feel, begin to affect our happiness, begin to affect our joy, then the enemy is prevailing. I have no other way to put it to you, but that's happening when we're stripped of our joy of the Lord today. Amen. Well, I don't like to think about the enemy prevailing, do you? Amen? But it'll happen, and it is happening in America today and throughout this world. Amen. Satan realizes that he is defeated in the end. Amen. I believe with all my heart that he'll be cast into hell, and he'll burn with everybody else that's burning down there. But right now, he has some power on the earth. Great spiritual power he has. And he's doing all that he can to try and destroy lives today. Trying to strip people of the joy that they have. And he's prevailing in this today. Amen. Amen. This ain't going to make you shout, but I hope it'll help you today. I begin to think about, as we look at this, and even before Amalek came on the scene here and started this attack against Israel, the enemy was already prevailing. You ever thought about that?
Come on, please.
When the children of Israel began to doubt that God was going to deliver them, they had got to the point where they actually believed where they actually believed that Moses had led them out of Egypt to let them starve to death. That's what they thought. That's what they thought. And so, by them thinking this, it sounds like the enemy is prevailing in the camp. Doesn't it? Amen? Moses, bless his heart, he was trying to follow God's commands and his will. When folks get mad at God, they get mad at church, doesn't they? That usually goes hand in hand. And I believe today that's exactly what happened over here. They got mad at God. You don't love us. You don't care about us. Oh, we saw what you did over there in Egypt. But that was yesterday. What you done for me today? And they begin to get discouraged and down and out. I'm going to tell you what. When folks begin to get discouraged, when the church gets discouraged, amen.
Come on.
Amen. There's some in the church that it breaks their heart. It does. And they'll go to God and they'll pray and they'll say, God, what's going on? What's happening? Moses went to God. He said, they'd be about ready to stone me. Lord, send us some water. And you know what? The Lord will pour out blessings in the most peculiar ways. Right. Who would have thought water from a rock? Who would have thought that? He didn't say go over there to that stagnant mud puddle and let them drink. That's what they deserve. Yeah. He said, Moses, you take that rod that you've done all these other things with, and you go over there and you strike, you smoke that rock. And the Bible said that water began to flow out of that rock. Can't you see Jesus all in that? Do you believe today that Jesus is that rock?
Amen.
And that spiritual water, the water of life, flows freely from that rock? Boy, I can just see, Moses, when he did that, that water came out, he probably said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because they were really so upset with him that they were, I don't know whether Moses was being facetious when he told God they'd be about ready to stone me. I think he was being serious.
Right.
Yeah. I really do. And he had to be thrilled when water came out of that rock.
Yeah.
I'm glad there's living water today flowing from the throne of God.
Amen.
Like we've never seen. Amen.
Yeah.
Somebody said, preacher, you reckon it's doing it in 2024? I know it is. There's the water of life that he gives freely, amen. It's coming about, and it's coming to us today, and I'm glad of that. I felt it when I came into church today. I felt it while y'all were singing, amen. I can feel that spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
But let's get back to when the enemy prevails. When the enemy prevails. A lot of young converts get discouraged. And that's why the church has such a responsibility. I feel like it's starting with me. It's been failed a lot of times. When a new convert gets saved, and for just a little while there, they have an experience like they've never had before. I've often tried to tell about. And you can't tell it. You can't preach it like you done. I can't. But for a little while, they have an experience that's like no other they've ever had. And it is like no other. But it doesn't take very long for the enemy to start to prevail. Don't you ever think for 1 minute that Satan says, okay, I'm defeated. I'm going to leave this one alone because he accepted the Lord. But Satan says, I'm going to go at them harder than they've ever had anybody go after them before. Because I know I've lost them.
Come on, preacher.
I know I've lost them.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try to torment them the rest of their life. I want to discourage them in their church life. I want to discourage them in their family life. I want to discourage them with their boss man. I want to discourage them in everything that life has. That's what Satan wants to do. Let's give him his credit. So when Satan begins to prevail, when the enemy begins to prevail, that young convert, amen, if he don't get himself, as Brother Ed Engle used to say, a good help and a grace,
amen.
A good help and a grace, it won't be very long till he'll be discouraged or she'll be discouraged. And the first thing they'll say is, I thought when I got this, by the testimony of all these other people, I thought when I got this that everything was going to be rosy. Today needed great. And then everything will go through your mind that the devil will throw out there. Well, maybe I didn't get it. Maybe there's not that much to it. Maybe it's not as good as I thought it was. That's the enemy prevailing in our lives.
Amen.
That's exactly what that is. Brother John, he, the devil deals with me every day. He does. Bible said that when Moses, and I believe he is holding up that rock, Bible says when he held his hand up, I believe he's holding up that rod. And the Bible said that when he held it up, the battle against Amalek, that Israel would prevail.
Yeah.
When he let it down, Amalek would prevail. You know that Amalek was the descendants of Esau? And Esau hated Jacob. Because he sold him his birthright and he hated Jacob. And that hatred between those two still goes on today. It's still here today. So that's who Amalek was. Amalek had no use for Israel. But the Bible said that when Moses would let his hand down, that Amalek would prevail. And the Bible said that Aaron and Hur, some people believe that Hur was Moses' brother-in-law, right? The father-in-law Sidon, though. But the Bible says that when Aaron and Hur went over there, sitting down on a rock, I guess Moses was standing during this time. And if you're like me, you'd get pretty tired of doing this for hours and hours on end. Like I couldn't. And he sat down there upon a rock. The Bible said that Aaron and Hur went and got and propped him up, one under one arm and one under the other. Boy, that ought to teach us, Brother Royce, if we ever see the church slipping.
God,
if one of us is getting tired, boy, we all be like them and get in there and get in there. Get up in there.
That's right.
As a pastor, I want to be alert to that. I do. Forgive me if I'm not alert to it, but I want it. And so, when they stayed his arms up, and I think that signified that he was praising God, that he was giving God all the glory, and I believe it was an encouragement to the soldiers and to Joshua. When they look and they see Moses up there on the hilltop with his arms up, it just encouraged them to keep going. You talking about making it easy on a preacher when the church is encouraging them?
Yeah.
Amen. Have you ever been encouraged?
Yeah.
Amen. In a revival service, and you're up there preaching, brother, and you know the church is with you. You know they're praying. Amen. And Moses was able to keep his arms up by the help of Hur and Aaron. And the Bible said that the Israelites defeated Amalek there. They did. Wasn't no more Amalek prevailing in that battle. Now later on we'll read about David and all of them. Moses was so impressed by what God did. He was so thankful that God not only had given water out of a rock, but that he had given Israel power to defeat Amalek. I'm afraid a lot of times we're not thankful enough for what he has done. We're too busy asking him what we want him to do, and we forget to thank him for what he has done. And he made a memorial there that down through the ages, when people come and see that memorial, what does this mean? What does it mean? This is when God poured out his mercy and grace and help upon Israel. And they defeated Amalek. Today we'll take we'll make a hero out of somebody, and we'll make a memorial to them. And I don't fall after that. There's some folks that have done great things that we need to remember. But Moses didn't make this memorial to Joshua. Joshua was the main dude in the battle. He was leading the army. But he did not made a memorial to Joshua. But he made it to God. He made it to God. I want to tell you today that when the enemy is prevailing in our lives, I'm talking about individually in our lives, that if we'll hold our arms, our hands toward heaven and ask God to help us to overcome the powers of Satan. Let me say this. Friday afternoon late, we went down to the hospital to check on Sister Kathy. And by the way, she's doing a lot better. They finally found what was causing the problem. It was kind of weird. The computer system's all shut down with ascensions. And all these young people that have never wrote anything now are having to write things on paper. And she said that they couldn't even admit anybody or discharge anybody because they don't know how to do it without a computer. And I understand, we were liable. But anyway, we went by to see Sister Kathy, and it was after 6 o'clock. So in case you don't know, after 6 o'clock, the front door, main entrance of the hospital is locked. And they figure people that's going to visit should have been there before 6, and I agree with them. So the security guard there said, you've got to go around to emergency. Now, St. Vincent's East, the main entrance to emergency is not real close together. We went back around the other side of the hospital. So we went, got back in the car and we drove around to emergency. And I knew the routine when we went into emergency. I knew what was going to happen. So I started emptying my pockets in the car. I took my pocket knife out and all that. I'm going somewhere with this. Listen. And went in the door there. There was a Jefferson County Sheriff's deputy there. He had his little basket. Very nice young man. He said, who are you here to see? And I told him. And he said, well, empty your pockets in this basket and walk very slowly through this detector. And I did. He said, now walk slowly back through it. I did. He said, okay, you can put your stuff back in your pocket. You're good to go. I told Belinda, I said, you know what sad is? I can remember when we didn't have to do that. It wasn't very long ago. And I said, and an old devil kind of got a hold of me, and I said, you know why we have to do this? I said, because of thugs. I said, it's called a thug. Because somebody will come in here with a gun and start shooting up nurses or shooting up doctors or shooting up a patient. And I said, that's why we have to do this. And I got real irritated. You know what was happening? Satan was prevailing. In that little battle I was in with him, he was prevailing. He said, that's exactly what I want. I want to irritate you. When you go in there and see Sister Kathy, you're going to be so frustrated, you can't even pray for her. That's the way it works, right? Now, Belinda handles things a lot better than I do. And I did. Before we got to her room, I calmed down. I asked for help and grace, and God gave me a help and grace.
Yeah.
But see, you can have plumbing problems. And if you're not careful, the enemy will prevail in that.
Yeah.
Everything's falling apart around the house.
Yeah.
This is leaking. That's leaking. I've been there, church. I know exactly where you're at. Everything's falling apart.
Yeah.
This is going to cost this. This is going to cost that. And the enemy is having a field day with you.
Amen.
And then you'll go to blaming folks for it. You ever done that? If Belinda hadn't been so tough on her, it would have lasted longer. I love you. But that's the way the devil works. And all I can figure is when that's happening in my life, he is prevailing, whether I want to admit it or not. Amen. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something today. If we'll pull up close to God, you know the difference between a mature Christian, a real mature Christian, and a newlywed Christian? Is a real mature Christian, and I haven't reached that yet, but a real mature Christian, I've seen people that are, when these things come at them, they just laugh at it and go on. Just say, well, I'm bad that it happened, but this is life. This is part of it. And Satan, you're not going to defeat me in this. When you hear Sister Maggie sitting over here saying that, Satan, yeah, you're not going to defeat me in this.
There's going to be times in our lives where the enemy's going to prevail. He's going to prevail. We don't like to think about that, but as long as we're in this flesh, as long as we're clothed in this flesh that we're in, our minds are going to think things that we ought not think. We're going to have opinions that we ought not have. If we'll lift our hands up to God and say, God, I can't handle this problem. And I don't want to have to get on much of medication to deal with it. God, if you'll just prevail in this thing, Lord, that'd be a lot of help.
Amen.
Amen. And He will.
That's right.
He will. I'm saying this from experience. When I'm talking about the person that lets things bother him a lot of times, I'm talking about me. And I'm glad today. Young people, when the enemy prevails at school, and he will, there's going to be times that he looks like he's winning every battle. Just lift your hands up towards God. When you're at the workplace and you feel like that people don't appreciate what you do, we've all been there at work where we've tried our best, and whether or not people give us credit or not, we have it in our mind that they don't appreciate us sometimes, don't we?
Don't we?
God, give me a helping grace, God, and help me to prevail over this. Help me to prevail over this. I love each and every one of you today. Let me say this in closing. Jesus warned Simon Peter. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan desires to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But here's what Jesus also said. But I pray for you that your faith fail not. I want y'all to know that the church is praying for you. But more than that, we've got an advocate with the Father that's praying for us. I believe if he's praying for Peter, he's praying for me. Sure. Amen. He's praying that my faith fail not.
Yeah.
When I get discouraged, he's praying that I'll come out of that discouragement and put my faith and trust in him. Amen. Let me say this in closing. You know where Satan really prevails? It's when he convinces you that you don't need a Savior. That's when he prevails. Don't be a Judas. Don't be a Judas today. And let Satan have the final victory in your life today. We know that Satan loses in the end, but if somebody dies and goes to hell, that's a victory for him. He won that battle. He won that war in their life. He won it. He did what he was set out to do. So I want to encourage you, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't let him have victory in your life. I'm talking about the devil. Don't let him have victory in your life. But you get a hold of something today that'll give you strength, and it'll take you through every battle that you face. And you're going to face battles. We're not immune to them. We're going to face them. But you'll have what you need to face. Come get us the song. Amen.
Bless you, Lord.
Everybody will stand.
480. 480 in celebration.